Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Friday, April the 5th, 96th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, looking Natalie Spring-like, is Eureka City Manager Bill Panos. You like that, huh, Natalie?
I do.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
I'm not sure it's the right word, and you're probably not accustomed to being called Natalie, so we'll work on it, right?
Okay.
You know, you got to come loaded to throw it back. Otherwise, it's not going to be nearly as much fun as what it could be.
Okay.
All right.
I'm on it.
Yeah, I mean, this is your fourth or fifth rodeo now. Unless, of course, you've got like a whoopee cushion you're going to whip out in the middle of the segment.
I do not have that.
And I probably shouldn't have said that.
That's probably true.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. For you and for many others who have sat in the chair, now the idea is out there.
It is.
This afternoon, we got a couple of different things to talk about. Why is Eureka City Hall turned on its axis? We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, what goes into long-term planning? What are the goals of the long-term planning? And how do we determine what the community wants? That'll be part of the discussion also. And then, choo-choo trains. They're more than just fables. At least we hope so. We'll talk about it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Ben Hogan, trying to do those golf. What are you arching back like that?
I'm trying to see it.
You can read the quote. This is kind of in anticipation of the Masters coming up next weekend.
Placing the ball in the right direction. Sorry, I did it wrong.
Go ahead, take another shot.
Placing the ball in the right position for the next shot is 80% of winning golf. That's a great saying.
Ben Hogan, by the way. I would think that that is something that a lot of people don't appreciate. The discussion points, how things are framed, how they're talked about, who does what talking. You know, if you have me out there leading the charge on one of your issues, it's probably not going to be quite as well received as if it was, say, yourself, for example.
Or a council member.
Yeah, or, you know, just grabbing a community member who might have some recognition or somebody who has no recognition. Same words, same presentation, same witty repartee, five different people, five different perceptions of what was said. How do you try to keep the tone consistent so it's not the messenger but the message that is focused on?
It's a great question. We in the city have to deal with complex issues every day, and part of the success of our staff and our city council has been our ability to make complex things simple, and to be able to discuss the complex, as I said, subjects in a way which is meaningful to the people that are hearing it, and to the people that we want to have understand the direction that we're going and why we're going in that direction. It's something you said earlier about planning. It's an important part of planning because planning has both known components and unknown components. And the idea of explaining what the various options are, let's say in a general plan for transportation systems, is a really complex conversation that has known and unknown parts to it. And so to really have people understand that in context and then be able to assist in their perspective about assist us in deciding what to do is a really important part of government. And so I think our staff and, again, our council, they do a great job at that. And we're always challenged each and every day by that.
It's tough, I know, not to focus on the messenger rather than the message. That's a pregnant pause for everybody to fill in the blank there. As you look at the message, though, Bill, how do you extract that emotional connotation, either because, well, we've talked about it for the last 350 years here, why are we talking about it again? Or somebody coming in from what might be perceived as a vested perspective or point of view. How do you try to, or do you, keep it neutral?
You know, with regards to some of the things that you've talked about, perspective and the fact that you've been talking about it or that they have an emotional attachment to it, you don't try and extract that. You try and include it. You try and make sure that you're respectful of where people have been and where they're going as an individual and as groups as we move forward. And so that's the key to consensus building, is respecting where everybody is and trying to identify a common pathway which will allow them to support the initiative that you're working on. Again, it's a challenge that we have in government fairly consistently. And those governmental institutions that are successful have mastered it. And we do our best to do that every day.
But as a consensus builder, you have your opinion. And I would think that one of the more challenging elements, as you're surrounded by, let's say, the group of five, whatever five that might happen to be, and I'd sit there and go, you know, Bill, that sounds great. What's your opinion? So now at that time, the messenger is being asked to, or staff who's trying to be neutral, or somebody who's trying to bring together a whole bunch of parts. Now, not only are you in the spotlight, but now you're going to be held accountable for the next words uttered. Kind of like this show. So how do you do that without making it the Bill Pano show and steering the decision rather than bringing everybody on board to stand behind the decision?
That's a really good question. The idea of, assisting the council is in part offering your opinion, both in private settings and when asked in public settings. And so it's important that anyone in this kind of a position, whether it be a city manager or any leader of any organization, create the conditions within which the boards can really speak their mind.
KINS, Saved by the Gun. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. Bill, the concept of the East-West rail line, it's still flummoxing. How's that for a fancy word, huh?
That is fancy.
I mean, that's even like more than two syllables, I think. Why everybody isn't embracing this thing as an opportunity to see what the future could hold, not necessarily what it will hold, but what it could hold, and what it might mean economically for our community, culturally, take your pick, whatever. Why we're not embracing this just as much as the community did when they decided to put in airport as much as when they decided to consider fiber optics, roadways, water. I mean, whatever. I mean, this is an infrastructure kind of a thing that makes our area viable. What sense do you have on why there's pushback, even at the base level, to consider helping to fund a small percentage of a study to look at this thing?
I think that our community is a unique place in many respects. I'm learning that, being new here. But I'm also learning that it's very similar to other places here in the United States, in California, in the United States, throughout the world, in that change is difficult for communities as they consider it, as they look at it, and especially change which has unknown components to it. The idea that we don't know all of the answers, we don't have all the answers as we go forward. The concept of a feasibility study, an independent study, to look at goods movement opportunities for our region, and one of those opportunities being improved rail east and west from Humboldt Bay to the Redding Red Bluff area. Those kinds of studies help, I think, us objectively look at the possibility, the feasibility of whether or not it can be done. And I think that it's important for us to get those facts, and the council believes that it's important to get facts about that and all goods movement opportunities here. Highway goods movement, port goods movement, rail goods movement, and to look at all of those as we go forward. And this is one of those opportunities that they are moving forward on. And so we are seeking a grant from Caltrans to fund a part of a feasibility study that fits into our overall review of goods movement. And in this particular case, the feasibility study is to look at rail moving east to west. Again, the feasibility of such a thing.
Is it a stretch to say that this is the same parallel argument to the airport development? When you talk about movement of goods and services, I'm thinking people as a goods, freight, things of that nature. There's so much effort that's been put into the airport over the years. Okay. Not that it's, you know, it's unwarranted, but a lot of excitement, and I don't hear anybody saying we shouldn't be expanding the airport. And yet when we're doing something similar, but it's a train, which is more efficient in transporting goods, we're getting this huge blowback from segments of the community. Is somebody not being consistent in their arguing, or are they two separate and unique discussions?
They're certainly separate and unique discussions. And I bet, I wasn't here when the airport was expanded. I will be here as the airport if it does expand in the future. But I bet there were people who were opposed to that, and I just wasn't. I wasn't around to hear that. And I think a healthy dialogue is a good thing. And I think that we should create the conditions within which those which are supportive, neutral, opposed, have the opportunity to speak up and have an opportunity to be heard. And this council is committed to that and has been. And on this particular issue, that's part of the feasibility study, is to get objective facts from engineers, from people that understand this kind of capital financing, from real estate folks, from development folks that understand how to do these things, their objective opinion about whether or not something like this is feasible, as we would do for the airport, as we would do for any kind of highway, as we would do for the port. It's really to give objective facts to the discussion.
Now, you said that you're starting to grasp a little bit about our psychotic nature in our community. Do you think it's possible to achieve that discussion environment around the rail line?
I think it's possible to achieve a discussion about any issue, an objective discussion about any issue, And it's for us in government and in some to some degree the non-governmental agencies, non-governmental organizations, NGOs, to help create the conditions in business community and citizens to help create the conditions for that kind of an objective dialogue to occur.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Bill Panos.
Decade of Difference presents a brand new competition, Innovate, a business challenge opportunity to pitch your creative idea. First step, upload a 60 to 90 second elevator pitch highlighting your business venture idea by March 29th. 40 finalists will be selected to move on to phase two. But don't wait. First 100 entries receive a free iTunes gift card. To upload your video and get more information, visit decadeofdifference.org. A grand prize of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Don't wait. Innovate.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Panos, the city manager for Eureka. So you do a little feng shui, is that how it's said, for City Hall? You kind of rotate things around a little bit. What's going on here with the front door being moved?
Well, we didn't move the front door. It's always been there since the 1960s. We're simply asking people to begin to enter City Hall through the K Street entrance, which is our main entrance and has been our main entrance. It hasn't moved. We are doing this
unless you try to sneak up the stairwells on the parking lot side.
You can sneak up if you'd like. The K Street entrance is our main entrance. We actually have a receptionist down there now who will greet people as part of our customer service approach and actually direct them to where they need to go. And that, I think, helps people find their way through City Hall. It's not a big City Hall, but there's a lot going on there. And so to help people find their way into the building, and it's going to help a great deal with customer service. And so we're very excited about it. It started April 1st. And, you know, over the next couple of weeks, we'll iron out all of the wrinkles. And once that's done, I think we'll be good to go. And the employees had been asking for it for a little while, for a bit. And it was one of the first things they brought to my attention when I joined. And I'm glad to have been able to work with them and come up with an approach where we could have such a thing happen. And so that's the story. We didn't move the entrance. It was always there.
Did it used to have a reception? I'm going back maybe 20 or 25 years. I'm wondering. I recall there was something that was there, and then it turned into kind of artsy displayville, and then it was open. It was this and that. I don't know if it was part of reshuffling or with the remodeling. But I tend to recall that there used to be, and that was the reason for the depth, is that there was the space from the front door to the wall. There was some reason for it. But it's being well received?
Well, it's new, and yes, and it's being effective.
Well, come on, you've had it for more than 2 hours. Let's go.
That's right. So we'll see over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be monitoring very, very closely, and it's something to get used to, I think.
How do you know if it's doing its job?
When we have, we'll check with the employees. They'll tell us whether it's working really, really well. And the ones that are down there, our employees are amazing people. That when we need them to step up, they step up. But also when we need them to tell us how things are going, and if we need to make improvements, they're right there to do that. And so we rely on them a great deal, and they should be relied on because they're great people and they do a really, really excellent job every day.
There was no truth to the rumor that you were losing people inside of City Hall because they got lost?
People do get lost in that small City Hall, which is amazing. But that's just because there's a lot going on. And so sometimes we have to direct them where to go.
Versus telling them where to go.
I didn't
He's not going to respond. He's just going to sit there and smile, which is not fair, by the way. Do you see any other changes in systems or in routines that would seem to make sense, either at City Hall or in the processes, you know, maybe out in the field at the city parks or whatever it is that you might be considering?
Well, I think that every year at this time, we're beginning to put together our budget. And budget is a window of opportunity for us to look at the things that the council and that the employees and that the citizens have asked us to look at and modify. And so I would expect that over this next few months, as we approach July 1st, which is our next budget year, fiscal year, that we will have some changes proposed, and the citizens will have an opportunity to weigh in on those things, and the council will have an opportunity to make a decision about the directions they want to go and the improvements they want to deploy. And so I think this is the moment in time, this sort of springtime before we get to the next budget, is the moment in time that we take this in every year. So,
are you looking for a ton of public input? I mean, I
do you have something you want to add?
No, nothing more than just the normal cheap comments. I'm thinking, you know, there have been electeds over the years that have taken that kumbaya, let's listen to everybody's opinion approach, and has driven people batty as they're going back and revisiting topics for the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh time with the same result. And staff time being not recognized as being valuable time. So if I come and I go, blah, 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 wine, wine, blah, blah, blah. Bill, take care of this. Will you investigate this one for me? Okay, times 30 or 40 a week of senior staff going over the same trails that have been gone over 6 months ago. But there was a new sounding board for those complaints. Obviously, that's an extreme at one end. Not listening to anybody is an extreme on the other end. How do you strike a balance in there so that you do get input, but at the same time, you're running against a timeline and a deadline for this budget to be approved and passed and be implemented?
So budget aside, what you described where people or go to either a city councilman or to us directly and ask us to look into things, we're doing every day, 30 times a day, and that's just part of the job, and we like that part of the job. On the budget, though, on the budget side, it's a very disciplined process that we go through. We have a date that we have to hit. We have to get it in front of council. We have to get public input. There will be ample opportunity for that input. And then right now, though, we're building some of the proposals with staff, and there'll be that moment in time when we're able to come out, several moments in time, we'll be able to come out and show the public, get their input, and move forward.
You want opinion or you want comment? I see a distinction between the two. Comment is well thought out. Here's a thought. Here's a suggestion. An opinion? I don't like it. Thank you. Why? Why? It just doesn't feel right. Yeah, and you get that kind of involvement rather than, have you guys considered doing something along these lines? Boom, and you have an example and a recommendation and a suggestion rather than just lipping off.
My sense about it is that we want all of it. We want opinion and comment, constructive and criticism. We are not afraid of criticism and being able to help look at ourselves and look at the city's assets, the city's processes, procedures, what the city is doing, what it's not doing, and improve those things every year. And this is a great time to do that. Budget process is a great time to do that. And we will have a budget July 1st, and it will be one that has taken in that public input, and there is a significant improvement.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Bill Panos.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45, final segment of the week. Bill Panos is alongside. Bill, a number of years, probably years ago now, we were hearing about McKay Track, a lot of development. Oh my gosh, what's it going to do to Harrison? How are we going to egress it? What about Hubbard Lane? Blah, 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 in the greater Eureka area. Now we've had Safeway move in. Okay, the asphalt's been laid along Harris. Okay, we've had this thing called the recession that we're struggling with. Not okay. Things change. What's the status of that, the project that's out in Cutton? Are those things, are they percolating? Does anybody have any interest in them? Is it something that time may have come and gone already and will be revisited in 20 or 25 years down the road?
Well, I don't think that time has come and gone, certainly. We're engaged in dialogue right now with the county and their partners on the McKay track, and a relationship between the county and the city about the acquisition and then the maintenance and operations of the McKay track, and that's moving along. The county has done a great job with Green Diamond and with TPL, their partners, to move that process along. And so we're fortunate to be at the table with them, talking with them as they complete that process. We've got a lot
of... What's your role?
You know, we're defining that now. There's been an openness to have us there and to not just to assist, but carry some of the load. These are not inexpensive propositions. And so moving forward in a partnership and doing more with less is kind of what all those institutions are about. And we're moving forward and helping one another. Collaboration is the key here to ensuring that we have the kind of forward movement that we need in the region, but also forward movement in the area of natural resource protection. And that's what this is really about. The other is that we are able to move forward, and the council has been very clear about its interest in expanding its sphere, the sphere of influence, the sphere of influence, technical term in the planning area, and providing additional services to those areas on its fringes, on right outside of it, where citizens have expressed some interest in the city providing additional services. A great example of that is the recent combination of Eureka Fire and Humboldt Bay Fire into a JPA called the Humboldt Bay Fire. And they've the city of Eureka and Humboldt Bay have done a really successful merging of operations to be able to provide more, better, less expensive services to people throughout the region, including that area that we're talking about, the Cutton, Pine Hill, Myrtletown area.
Now, you used a reference, resource protection with the McKay track.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you thinking of more parks, more trees that can't be cut down? What role would this landmass provide? And then how do you keep it safe and maintained and not another area for people to inhabit that aren't paying for it?
You know, we're in the beginnings of our discussions with the team, the county team, and they have really identified to us initially that it's multiple, it's there for multiple sources. Very much like a community forest, it is really about recreation, it's about natural resource protection, it's about using the forest, but also using it in a sustainable manner.
So you're not seeing a lot of homes in there and a lot of development in that sense?
There hasn't been a lot of discussion in that regard. It's really been about creating a forest that can be used for the public to access and to recreate in.
Kind of like the park at Sequoia Park? Have some trees and run around in it, kind of thing, or
a little bigger than Sequoia, a little bigger than Sequoia Park.
All right,
yeah,
with a landing strip in the middle of it for the airplanes.
I don't think so.
No,
I haven't heard that.
No. See, if you ever need those out of the box ideas, you know where to come to.
All right,
yeah,
I'll keep that in mind.
Or the helicopter pad.
I'll pass that along.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by.
You're welcome.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.